Mark chapter 7. I'm going to begin reading at verse 24. Read through verse 30. And from there he, Jesus, arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Heavenly Father, we pray to you today that you would give us understanding. I will admit, this is a difficult passage, and this is a difficult saying that the Lord Jesus has given to this woman. So please open up our minds and open up our hearts to see your overwhelming grace in it. Please lead us by your Spirit. I ask that for myself, and I ask that for those who are in attendance today, that you would give me a mouth to speak, and Lord, that you would give your people ears to hear. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've always struggled with this passage. And maybe as I read it, you see why. Because what Jesus says here to this woman seems so out of character. It seems so out of place with everything that we have read up to this point. His words have always struck me as a little bit harsh. And so as I've read this in the past, I've always just kind of move along here, nothing to see here. Let's move on to the next passage because they make me a little bit uncomfortable. And I anticipated the same thing when I knew that I was going to have to preach through this passage. And I think that's why it's so important that week by week, we have a commitment in this church to preach consecutively through Scripture. Because if I didn't, this would be one that I would skip. I'd just move on to something else. But we are confronted here. God wanted this passage here so that we would see something of the Lord Jesus and see something of his grace as he speaks to this woman. What is here for us in the midst of these uncomfortable words? What does God want us to see? First, we need to look at the setting. The setting. We're told in verse 24 that from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. From where? Where was Jesus leaving from? Where was he going to? He was leaving from, apparently, the Sea of Galilee, from that region. Because up to this point, it seems that most of the ministry that Mark has documented for us has happened right there around the sea. How many times have we witnessed Jesus crossing over the sea with his disciples? Many times. We know that it's not from Jerusalem that he's leaving. Not leaving from there because that's where the scribes and the Pharisees in the previous scene have come from. They came up from Jerusalem to meet Jesus right there in Capernaum or one of the cities right there around the sea. And so it seems that Jesus was leaving that region where he had begun to meet opposition. People are plotting to kill him. And so here he goes to an area that we've not seen him go to yet, the region of Tyre and Sidon. This was an area that was about 20 miles northwest of Galilee in present-day Lebanon, right there on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Could you throw that picture up there for us, Dan? Hopefully you're able to see there. The blue splotch down there toward the middle bottom of the picture is the Sea of Galilee, and you see in big letters to the northwest, Tyre and Sidon. So Mark doesn't give us the reason why Jesus traveled this place, but we can try and guess, I think. Because I mentioned in the last passage, just previous to this, that these people, the Pharisees and the scribes, are beginning to challenge Jesus more and more. They're confronting him with his words and confronting him about what he's teaching and what he is doing there. Why are your disciples eating with defiled hands? They're trying to trap him. And so it seems that this was a retreat from that place and the pressure of the Jews who were plotting against him to take his disciples away, not to minister to the crowds, but for Jesus to minister to his disciples personally, to teach them in a place where he might remain hidden. Because if the Pharisees were concerned about the disciples eating with unclean hands, if they were that concerned about what they did with their hands, the things that they touched, the things that they ate, well, surely they would be very concerned about following Jesus up to a place where everyone up there is unclean. Not going to follow him there. So Jesus goes there, goes inside of a house where he might remain hidden. But verse 25 and 26 tell us that immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit, she heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. So there's no hiding for Jesus anywhere. He can't get anywhere and hide from his own reputation. And Mark wants us to know, doesn't he, that this isn't just a regular Jewish woman. This isn't the type of woman that he's encountered throughout his ministry. He could have told us that she was just a woman without any explanation at all, but he wants it to be clear that she was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician woman, not a Jewish woman. She's somebody who is outside of the people of God. She has no part in the covenant that God has made with Israel. She is an outsider. She is of an idolatrous people. And this sets the stage for the hard words that Jesus says to her. He says, "Let the children be fed first, for it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." It is clear, if you've been watching how Jesus has consistently taught the people throughout his ministry up to this point, how has he taught them? He has consistently taught them with parables, riddles. In that way, we talked several weeks ago, he hides the truth from those who do not have believing eyes and reveals the truth who have ears to hear him. And so he speaks to this woman in a parable. Just as he spoke to the crowds in this way, here he does it with this Gentile. But what does Jesus mean with the picture that he paints about the table, the children, the bread, the dogs? Now, I don't know this for sure, but this very well could have been the setting that was right there in front of them. We're told that Jesus went into a house, right? So he was inside of a house, and he had a habit of consistently teaching the people with things that were right there in front of them. Baskets, lamps, food, seeds, things that would grow, agriculture. He was always outside and teaching the people from things that they knew. Inside of this house, there may have been a table with children and bread and dogs. But even if that's not in view, the picture that Jesus paints with his words, I don't think we have to strain very hard in our own minds, even 20 centuries later, to have a picture of what Jesus is talking about here. Maybe you can see it in your own house. I can see mine. In my mind's eye, I can see a table. I can see children sitting at it. I can see a dog. When it is dinner time, our family dog is never far away. And maybe it's that way inside of your house too. Now, our dog does not have a seat at the table because she is not one of the children. She does not have a plate with us. We do not serve her with a fork as a family member. She is a pet. And if she ever gets anything from the table, it is only after the rest of the family has had an opportunity to eat. But rest assured, If anything ever hits the floor, she knows it, and she's on it. This is the idea that Jesus is communicating to this woman. But who are the children and who are the dogs? Well, the children in his parable are Israel. It's Israel. The dogs in the parable is anyone who is not of Israel. So there is a distinction here between children and dogs, Israel and the Gentiles. And Jesus is making it clear that his mission from God is to come and proclaim and bring the kingdom to the Jews first. They have the priority. So the Messiah here, as he comes into the world, has come first to his own, to the house of Abraham, to the children, to give them their bread first. And what is their bread? The first opportunity to respond, to receive him and receive salvation. Will they have ears to hear their own Messiah? They have the priority, not the dogs. But make no mistake about it. Jesus is calling this woman a dog. I read one man who says that the word that Jesus uses here is actually the word for puppies. You know, and if we think that way, well, that just removes all the offense altogether, doesn't it? Well, he's just calling her a little puppy. There's nothing wrong with that. Puppies are cute, right? Softens the effect a little bit. But the more that I read, the less convinced I was of this, because it is true that Jesus is using a word for a small dog, not a street dog, not one of the mongrels that are out there on the street hunting food like coyotes, not that kind of dog. He is talking about a small dog, the kind that apparently lives in a home with a family. But I don't think that he is calling to mind the cuteness of the puppy and then removing all offense from what he is saying. No matter what we might try and do with the words, Israel clearly has its part with the children here, and this woman has her part with the Gentile dogs. One has priority, one is first, and she is not first. At this point in Jesus' ministry, it's the beginning of the meal. It's the start. And he is presenting the food to the children. God is handing out bread to them, but will they receive it? That's the question. Are they going to receive what Jesus is bringing to them about the kingdom of God? Are they going to see their need for salvation? Or are they going to think that they're simply saved by how good they are? And Jesus is saying then to this woman that she is coming to him like a dog that comes up to the table when the meal is served, stands on its hind legs, and wonders where its plate and where its fork are. It's not time yet for you. And as 21st century Americans who have been well trained, I think, in our personal rights, haven't we? Now getting thoroughly trained, it seems, by the prophets of this age and political correctness and in victimhood, getting our due, and we naturally howl when we don't get what we think that we deserve. We look at a passage like this and we're bewildered at what we read. We don't understand it. We're immediately offended at what Jesus says and wonders to ourselves, why is this here? Why was this written? I do not like the way that this presents my Savior to me. And we need to take into account a couple of things. Things might start swirling around inside of our heads like, ooh, Jesus is offensive. Might even start to creep in our heads a little bit that maybe Jesus is sinning here. Because isn't that what we've been trained to understand in our culture? That if we get offended, the other person is wrong. Just because I take offense, if I have feelings inside of me of offense, the other person has wronged me, haven't we? We've been taught that very clearly. And so we see that here. This woman, surely she is offended by the words that Jesus is saying, because I'm offended by the words that Jesus is saying here. He must be in the wrong. But what do we know about Jesus? Jesus never sinned. Jesus was never in the wrong in anything that he did. His intentions were never motivated by sin. He was never close to sin or anything like that. He always obeyed the will of his Father. He always did what was pleasing to his Father. And so in this case, if we start to have our minds drift in that direction, the truths that we know about Jesus need to stop it. Because Jesus wasn't a sinner. And so even though these words might seem offensive to us, Jesus was not in the wrong. He is speaking in a challenging way, but he does so. He has to be doing so in a way that is still pleasing to God. He has come to do his Father's will. And what is his Father's will? To first bring the message of salvation to the Jews. And that's exactly what he is doing here. His mission right now is not to the Gentiles. He is obedient. And because Mark has identified this woman as a Gentile, a Syrophoenician woman, he is clearly telling us by using those words, he's telling us something that should have an effect on us. He didn't have to include those words. He could have just said she was a woman. But we're removed from this scene by 2,000 years, and so we take little notice of them as we read. Who cares that she's a Gentile Syrophoenician woman? Too much detail, Mark. Let's just get on with the story. But he's included these words for a reason. No rabbi worthy of his salt would have received this woman in conversation. She was as unclean as it gets. But what do we see? We see our Savior having a conversation with her. And Mark wants us to know that this is an unusual conversation indeed. In a passage that follows right after that commentary about foods that have been declared as clean. Jesus in the last passage declared foods as being clean. And right here, Mark gives us no commentary that Jesus is now declaring all people clean. Because that's not where we are in salvation history. But I think that it is a little bit of a preview to us that that will come. That's why he has included this story. And these words should startle us a little bit and let us know that the Son of God is up to something. He's doing something here in this conversation with this woman. So what is it? First, I want you to notice what this woman does not do. What does she not do? She doesn't do what we have been so thoroughly trained to do in our culture today, and that is take offense. She is not offended. You and I might be offended, but she is not. She did not immediately look at Jesus and stand on her rights and scream. No. She does something extraordinary. She understands that Jesus is talking to her in a parable. And what does she do? She, of all people, actually answers Jesus out of the content of his parable. She understands what he's saying. Jesus has left the region of Israel. He has preached, we have witnessed, to countless thousands of people in riddles up to this point. He has called them again and again to have ears to hear his message of the kingdom. He has chosen disciples to follow him. Out of all the other people, he's chosen 12 to come and be with him. And he constantly has to do what with these men? Pull them aside to explain what he is saying to the crowds because they do not understand. And what do we have here? We have a Gentile, Syrophoenician, unclean woman who apparently gets the parable. She understands. What does that tell us? She has ears to hear. She has wisdom to see what Jesus is saying to her. And she responds out of that parable back to Jesus. If she had responded with the offense that we think that she should have had, then this story would have never been included in the Gospel of Mark. We'd never know anything about this woman. just like so many hundreds or thousands of other people that we don't know. But here she is in the pages of Scripture, because she has responded to the Son of God with great wisdom and understanding and faith. Strangely, she knows what her place in the story is. She sees herself, and what is she? She's the dog. She's the dog. And knowing that and hearing that does not turn her away. Instead, she only presses in further. She only drives in closer. She doesn't run away. She doesn't scream. She doesn't take offense. She responds and says, I see. I see what you're saying. I'm the dog. She believes what Jesus says, and she unfolds his parable with a believing heart. Look at what she says to him. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. She's saying, yes, Lord, I understand that I am not one of the children. That's not my place right now. I don't have a seat at the table. There's no fork there for me. I am a dog that is under the table. But because I am in the house, and yes, I am under your table, there will still be some crumbs that fall down to me. Please let me have them. She is not offended by what Jesus says. She has a right view of herself. She has a right view of her place in God's plan. And in Jesus' parable, she was not looking for offense. What was she looking for? She was looking for the blessing that he was telling to her. And what did she see? What she saw is that the dogs still get to eat. They don't starve. Even though she is not supposed to eat right now, she still sees that she will have her opportunity when the crumbs fall down to her. And I think we struggle with something like this because the concept is so foreign to us. We and our culture, we know how to demand. We know how to demand what we think is ours. We think that everything should be equal, that no one should have priority. That's not fair. But whoever said that God has to be fair? Who says that God is fair? Who says that God has to be equal in everything that he does? Does God give to everyone the same measure? The same amount? The same timing? The same families? The same opportunities? The same seasons to live in? The same place to live in? Has God done that? This woman, and the measure of wisdom that is given to her, the strange faith that she has, is teaching us to receive what God chooses to give. Whatever he chooses to give. And whatever he gives, brothers and sisters, make no mistake about it, is more than what you deserve. Do you hear that? Whatever God chooses to give you, even if it is a morsel of crumb from the table, is more than you deserve. She did not complain about not being called a child. She did not complain about not having a seat at the table. She took what God was giving to her, and she knew that the crumbs from the Lord's table were enough to fill a little dog's stomach. And she said, feed me. Pride will make you think too highly of yourself, stand on your rights, and complain that God is unfair. But who are you, oh man, to answer back to God like that? God can do whatever he wills, and if he chooses to give you a morsel of anything good, it is more than you deserve. Because why? What do you deserve? you deserve wrath. You deserve judgment. You deserve punishment. You deserve to have an eternity separated from him. But what has he done? You're still right there in the house, even as a dog, and he is ready to give to you. In this parable, she saw that Jesus was telling her that she still had a place. But she wasn't an outcast. She had a place in his house, under the table, and that was more than enough for her. It was more than enough for her own soul. It was more than enough for her daughter. And Jesus, amazed at her faith, he granted her grace. He answered her desire because she had ears to hear what he had to say. And because of that, her story has been preserved for us as a model of faith. And what was the heart of this woman's faith? She was willing to say, in agreement with Jesus, that she was not worthy. She wasn't worthy to even be a dog in the house. She understood that. She was saying to him, "My trust is in you, that you will be gracious to give me some crumbs." She saw in the story that Jesus was abounding in steadfast love and mercy, that even to a Gentile Syrophoenician woman like her, that God's grace could still reach her. She wasn't too far gone. And so maybe the most important truth to come from this story is this: that it does not matter what I am, as long as I know who he is. Doesn't matter what I am. Doesn't matter what anybody else says to me. It simply matters who Jesus is. So call me what you want. Say about me what you will. My salvation, my hope, my future, all of those would be dashed if they depended on me. Whether I'm a palace prince or a street dog, it gives me no advantage with God. I am not worthy. He is. He is. And if I know who he is, there is hope for me. And there is hope for you. I am depending on him. Not my status. Not what I have. Not what I do not have. Not my nationality. Not my race. Not the neighborhood that I live in. Not my job or my bank account. I depend upon none of those things. They do not give me advantage with God. Simply knowing Jesus is all that is required. And that is what this woman is saying. I don't have anything else. I know what I am. Syrophoenician woman, shouldn't be talking to you. No place right now at the table, but I am looking to you, Jesus, because I know who you are. Your reputation precedes yourself. You are full of grace and mercy and compassion to those who are in need. And I am needy. Please help me. And he did. So we get offended as we read this story. As Christians who know the Lord, we look at that, it seems, maybe with eyes that are just a little bit off. Because we forget that we have the same heritage that this woman does. Maybe there are a few people who are of Jewish heritage in this audience. I don't really think so. I've not met anybody here before who has, but maybe that's the case. We have the same heritage as this woman. We are Gentiles by birth. We're crumb-eating dogs who had to wait our turn. And what happened to this woman is a preview of the plan of God to give an abundance of crumbs to unclean, undeserving sinners who did not belong to ethnic Israel, but have been called by God to enjoy the blessings of spiritual Israel. We have received far more than we deserve. So what's the application? for some of you this morning, I hope that maybe even for the first time that you have ears to hear. That God might give you ears to hear, just like this woman, that His crumbs are more than enough to fill your stomach. That what He offers to you is salvation indeed, regardless of what it looks like. He is offering you eternal life. And so, will you take offense at His words, or will you see the blessing in His words? Can you get past those words and see that He is offering you a place in His home if you are willing to be humbled? Others of you have already taken the step of faith. You've received the crumb of a dog, and then you have found yourself promoted to the table. Dogs become children in the kingdom of God. But I think the challenge for those children who used to be dogs is that we can so easily lose sight of the grace that has lifted us up to the table. We have not deserved what we have gotten, but I think we forget that from time to time, don't we? We start to believe that we did deserve it, start to live like we deserve it, and our hearts get lifted up. The grace of God keeps us humble, and we need to see our place in this story too. God is reminding us of who we were and that He has now given to us more than we deserve from Him. As I was thinking on this, I was reminded of Psalm 84. It says, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." Let me give you just the Tennessee version of that. I think what he is saying there is that I would rather be a butler for a day in the house of God than to be a master for 10,000 days in a mansion of wickedness. Just give me one day at the door of God that's better than 1,000 somewhere else that looks to be a lot better. So I can say, I think, that from this passage in Mark, to kind of bring that idea over, that I would rather be a dog who eats crumbs off of the Lord's floor than to be at a king's table somewhere else. But here is God's grace for us. He does not make me serve as a butler at the door of His house, though that would be good enough even for one day. It'd be better than I should get. One day as a doorkeeper and then cast off is still better than what I deserve. But it doesn't keep me, also, it doesn't keep me on the floor eating crumbs as a dog, though they would be enough to fill my stomach. What does God do? He puts me in Christ. And amazingly, I am promised and then given access to everything that the Son, Jesus Christ Himself, has. That should amaze me and humble me, that He would give me the portion of a son, lifting me up from the floor, never to be a dog again. And I may struggle to believe that, and maybe you do too. And at times I might start to bark like a dog again, and maybe you do too. But hopefully, over time, I become more like Him. And guess what? He has promised that to me as well. That what He has started in me, He will complete. And that someday, amazingly enough, I and you will be ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. And that is far more than we deserve. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for a passage of Scripture like this that reminds us reminds us of who we were, or even who we are, and who our Savior is. He is gracious and kind to give to us what we do not deserve, and you will be doing that into eternity future. And we will worship you perfectly forever with humble hearts that see ourselves as we really are. We were dogs, and yet you chose to feed us in your house, and you have made us adopted children who will forever receive the portion of Jesus Christ. Our minds and our hearts should be blown away. And so, Lord, as we close with one more song of worship, lead us to overflow in praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.